Hi everyone and welcome to Partick Trinity's service of worship this week. My name is Alan and I'm the youth worker at the church and I'll be leading this week's service. We're so delighted that you could join us and we pray that God would really speak to you during our time together. Let's start by focusing on God by reading the words from Psalm 130 together.
Psalm 130. Out of the depths I cry to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, so that we can, with reverence, serve you. I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning, more than watchmen wait for the morning. Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins.
Jesus said that if I thirst, I should come to him. No one else can satisfy, I should come to him. Jesus said, if I am weak, I should come to him. No one else can be my strength, I should come to him. For the Lord is good and faithful, he will keep us day and night. We can always run to Jesus, Jesus strong and kind. Jesus said that if I fear, I should come to him. No one else can be my shield, I should come to him. For the Lord is good and faithful, he will keep us day and night. We can always run to Jesus, Jesus strong and kind. Jesus said, if I am lost, he will come to me. And he showed me on that cross, he will come to me. For the Lord is good and faithful, he will keep us day and night. We can always run to Jesus, Jesus strong and kind.
God our Father, we thank you for your never-ending love for us and how we can be certain that although our situations and circumstances may change, you remain the same, yesterday, today and forever. Steady our hearts, Lord, as we meet in your presence this morning and help us to put all of our baggage, worries, fears and problems to the side and fix our eyes on you. We pray this morning that we would cast all of our anxiety over to you because you care so much about each one of us. As our country and world is still struggling through this hard time, we ask that you would strengthen our faith, Lord. Help us to remember that you are in control all the time, even when we don't see it. Help us to have the faith to trust you. Help us to be still and to know that you are God and you have a plan. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Habakkuk chapter 3. Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, Lord. Repeat them in our day. In our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. God came from Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran. His glory covered the heavens, and his praise filled the earth. His splendour was like the sunrise. Rays flashed from his hand where his power was hidden. Plague went before him. Pestilence followed his steps. He stood and shook the earth. He looked and made the nations tremble. The ancient mountains crumbled and the age-old hills collapsed, but he marches on forever. I saw the tents of Cushan in distress, the dwellings of Midian in anguish. Were you angry with the rivers, Lord? Was your wrath against the streams? Did you rage against the sea when you rode your horses and your chariots to victory? You uncovered your bow. You called for many arrows. You split the earth with rivers. The mountains saw you and writhed. Torrents of water swept by. The deep roared and lifted its waves on high. Sun and moon stood still in the heavens at the glint of your flying arrows, at the lightning of your flashing spear. In wrath, you strode through the earth, and in anger you threshed the nations. You came out to deliver your people, to save your anointed one. You crushed the leader of the land of wickedness. You stripped him from head to foot. With his own spear, you pierced his head when his warriors stormed out to scatter us, gloating as though about to devour the wretched who were in hiding. You trampled the sea with your horses, churning the great waters. I heard, and my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones, and my legs trembled. Yet, I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Saviour. The Sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. Amen.
As we wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever, our hope, our strong. Faint, you won't grow weary. upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever, our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do not faint, you won't grow weary. You're the defender of the weak, you comfort those in need, you lift us up.
In Habakkuk chapter 3, we find him praying to God in worship and praise. He is proclaiming how great God is and what he has done in the generations past and what he's going to do in the generations to come. He is reaffirming his faith in him, even when things all around him are failing and life is hard. You might be thinking, whoa, what great faith Habakkuk has, and that is true. But he didn't just get to this point in his faith easily. There was a process, a hard, honest and hurtful process that gave him that shift in perspective in his faith to get him to the point of proclamation of God's goodness even in troubled times. This process that Habakkuk goes through all those years ago, I believe is still relevant and helpful for us today. You might be thinking, why? Surely if it's that old and it's included in the Old Testament, it will be out of date by now. But the truth is, we serve the same God today as Habakkuk served all those years ago. And if we look at the lives of Jesus, David, Moses, and many others in the Bible, you will see that they use similar, if not identical, processes to strengthen their faith in tough times, which brings them closer to God. So how did Habakkuk get to that place of worship and proclamation of his trust in God, even when life was tough? How did he do it? Well, this morning we're going to focus on three things, all starting with W, that Habakkuk did that brought him to that place of praise and worship of God, even when Judah was in severe decline and life was at its worst for him and the rest of the people of Judah. My prayer is that in doing so, we would be challenged and encouraged to do the same in our faith journeys, and that you would see for yourself the importance of being honest and real with God at all times. So let me give you some brief context of the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk was one of the minor prophets who lived, wrote and prophesied over 600 years before the birth of Jesus. He was slightly different from the other prophets in the Bible because most prophets would listen to God and speak to people on his behalf, but Habakkuk does the opposite in his book. He speaks to God on people's behalf. People shared with him their struggles, issues and concerns, and he gathered them and brought them to God. Habakkuk's people, so the people of Judah, at one time were a very blessed and prosperous nation, But now there is a vast amount of corruption and people are suffering greatly, and there is a real need for God to intervene. And this is what starts Habakkuk's dialogue with God. So in chapter 1, Habakkuk pours out his heart to God, and God answers him, but not in the way that he wants. God says that he's going to raise up their enemy, the Babylonians. So he complains and pleads with God for a second time. So then in chapter 2, we see Habakkuk waiting on God. He prepares himself to listen to God, despite how he is feeling and the situation that is surrounding him. God answers him again, but tells him that he must wait, but eventually he will bring Babylon down. God then explains 5 woes that describe how nations like Babylon act, and the many ways that they mistreat him and other people, and how he will bring judgment to all of those that act in this way. Then we get to chapter 3, which we've just read, where Habakkuk prays to God and prays for who he is despite the oppression that they are facing. As we explore these 3 things that Habakkuk does, we'll be dipping in and out of chapters 1, 2 and 3. So the first thing that Habakkuk did was he wondered. So in chapter 1, Habakkuk goes to God with a number of questions, wondering when he is going to hear his cries for help. His wondering isn't just calm, peaceful questioning. It is honest, open, deep, emotional cries for help. He is pleading with God to act against all of the wrong and injustice that he has seen happening. So in Habakkuk chapter 1 verses 2 to 4, it says this: "How long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Or cry out to you violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abounds. Therefore the law is paralysed and justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous so that justice is perverted." Habakkuk is basically saying, God, I believe in you and I know you are good and I am aware of what you can do, but I don't understand what you are doing here. I don't understand why you're not doing what I want and think that you should be doing. You don't seem to be acting fair, and you don't seem just right now. I'm not sure you're doing the right thing, because it is not what I want you to do. Please, God, do something about this. Have you ever found yourself asking questions like this to God? I know I have. Habakkuk is being real and honest with God. He has seen his nation during their best days and is now seeing its major decline, and he is wanting God to act to stop all the injustice that he has seen. When life gets tough or brings trials, struggles and hard times, are we honest with God? Do we share with him exactly how we are feeling and ask him the hard questions? Do we pour out our heart to God? God shows that he always listens by responding to Habakkuk, but he doesn't give him the answer that he is looking for or expecting. So God goes on to say in chapter 1 verse 5, "Look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed, for I am going to do something in your days that you would not believe even if you were told." Habakkuk is thinking here, finally, God has listened and he's going to answer me. We're going to be a blessed nation again. But God has different plans. God explains that he's going to raise up their enemy, the Babylonians, the ones that are so much worse than the people of Judah. Things are going to get so much worse before they get better. God says to him, "I'm going to bring judgment on them and then on you and your people." God doesn't answer his prayer in the way he wants, or in the way he had planned. How many of us pray to God with requests of how we want him to change our circumstances? How often we pray focusing on our perspective and looking out instead of focusing on God's perspective and looking up. Isaiah 55 verses 8 and 9 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Even when God's answers are not what we want or think we need at that time, we need to fully trust him because he knows best and has a plan. The Bible tells us that God is good all the time, and we need to remember that and trust him always, even when we don't understand or when we cannot see what he is doing. Habakkuk is faced here with a choice. Does he walk away from God and deny the bad in his circumstances, or does he wrestle with honest questions between himself and God, and in doing so build a strong and more genuine faith? Later on in chapter 1, we see Habakkuk decides to return with more questions for God again. He is beside himself thinking and processing all that God has just told him that he's going to do. He doesn't let God's answer that he doesn't want to hear act as a barrier between himself and his relationship with him. You see, if you are serious about your relationship with Jesus and you want to build a strong and steadfast faith in him, wondering, questioning and being real with God should be something that we do when troubles come our way. Don't pretend to be holy when deep down you have questions that are nearly breaking you. Be someone who is honest and real with God, because he already knows how we're feeling. Psalm 62 verse 8 says, "Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge." True honesty with God is the starting point to finding strength in him. So the second thing we see Habakkuk doing is waiting. So at the end of chapter 1, Habakkuk is complaining for a second time to God in response to God's answer to him about raising up the Babylonians. After he finishes ranting and he gets his anger and frustration off his chest, we get to see what Habakkuk's faithfulness truly looks like. Even although he has been passionately pouring his heart out to God and maybe getting a bit frustrated and annoyed, he gives space and time for God to respond. He readies himself for God's answer. He positions himself ready to listen to God's response. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 1 says, "I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I am to give to this complaint." From the dialogue that has already taken place in chapter 1 and moving into chapter 2, Habakkuk knows that God listens and knows his voice, because he has witnessed his response previously. He knows that God is not distant or dismissive, and that he continually wants a close and intimate relationship with him. Are we sure of our relationship with God? Do we know him intimately enough to recognise when he is speaking to us? Our God is a God who speaks. He spoke to Habakkuk all those years ago, and he still speaks to people today. There are many ways in which he can do this: through scripture, through worship music, through his Holy Spirit. He can use people and he can use circumstances to direct us, shape us and lead us in the plan he has for each of our lives. God is very much still alive today in 2021, and he has something to say to anyone who is willing to listen to him. But the thing is, it's not always easy to listen to him, is it? When we're in the midst of our struggles, in the midst of our hurt, in the midst of our pain, sometimes the last thing we want to do is wait. During this time, it's tough to sit and wait to hear what God has to say. A natural reaction for us is to get up and do something about our situation instead of waiting. But the truth is, one of the best things you can do in these times is to look up before you look out. Pray to God and wait for his response. If we let our feelings or situations get the better of us and get in the way of our communication with God, we risk missing out God's answer to us. What a terrible situation that would be if we just poured our heart out to God and then we miss his answer to us. To make sure this doesn't happen, we must regularly find time to be still before him and recognise that he is God and he is in control and we are not. The psalmist writes in Psalm 46 verses 7 to 10, "The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, 'Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth.'" Often in life, we think of waiting as a negative thing, but God uses it as one of his key tools in bringing us closer to him. Waiting may seem passive upon first glance, but it is anything but passive. During the stillness and in the waiting, God wants us to trust him completely. Seek him with everything we have and pray to him in eager expectation of him answering in accordance to his will. God is there with us in the waiting, even when we may not feel it. He is there. The Christian author and motivational speaker Emily Bell Freeman said, "When you can't see God's hand, trust his heart. Remind yourself constantly of who God is, what he has done in the past, and how he is and will continue to be faithful in every situation in the days to come." Habakkuk pauses and waits long enough for God to speak. In chapter 2, verses 2 to 3 of Habakkuk, it says, "Then the Lord replied, 'Write down the revelations and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it, for the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay.'" So God is saying here, "Habakkuk, I'm going to help you, but you must wait." It sounds so simple, but waiting can be one of the hardest things to do. We hate waiting, don't we? We live in an instant culture nowadays where everything has to happen now, now, now. Emails, WhatsApp replies, internet pages taking more than a second to load up. Netflix, Amazon Prime or Disney Plus taking more than 5 seconds to load our selected movie or TV show. All of this causes people to get annoyed and causes us to become more impatient. We really don't like waiting because we're all looking for that immediate satisfaction. But that is our way and not God's way. God wants us to wait on him. Waiting is a key part in growing closer to God. It's one of the many tools that he uses to draw us closer to him. when you find it hard to do, ask yourself this question: how is my faith? Because it takes faith to wait upon God. Isaiah chapter 40 verse 31 says, "But those who trust in the Lord for help will find their strength renewed. They will rise on wings like eagles. They will run and not get weary. They will walk and not grow weak." Those who trust God enough to wait in His response will be given the strength they need to carry on, even when life is tough and it's getting you down. So Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 20 finishes by saying, "The Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before Him." God is reminding Habakkuk that He is the eternal God who is always on the throne, and He wants all those who are serious about their relationship with Him to be silent and wait in awe of Him with the expectation of what He's going to say to them. So the third thing we see Habakkuk doing is he chooses to worship God even when life is tough, even when he and his people are in serious decline. In chapter 3 verses 17 to 19 of Habakkuk, it says, "Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vine, though the olive crops fail, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen, and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Saviour. The Sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights." The Christian author, theologian and pastor John Piper explains that there are two main parts of worshipping God, based on Jesus' words found in Matthew chapter 15. The first is the inner essence of worship. So when there is an active connection from our hearts to God, truly believing and trusting in Him because of how faithful and trustworthy He is. And the second is the external expression of worship, when we worship God through song or through how we act in our daily life to honour Him. So in Matthew chapter 15 verses 8 to 9, Jesus explains that true external worship means nothing if people's hearts are far from Him, meaning that true worship must be from the inside out. Habakkuk's expression of praise and worship of God here is more than just an external expression of worship, because how easy would it have been for him to blame God for the mess he and his people are in? Instead of blaming God, he chooses to praise Him even when everything else is failing all around him. Why? Because in his heart he has a deep love and trust of God and who He is in the midst of the turmoil, chaos that he and his people are facing. He looks up to God before he looks out to the reality of his situation and puts his complete trust in the one who created him, the one who is on the throne, and the one who will be forever. In Isaiah 61 verse 3, the writer talks about God giving people who mourn a garment of praise instead of heaviness or despair. So when you find yourself struggling and the spirit of heaviness is upon you, don't give up. Put on the garment of praise and find peace and rest in worshipping God and putting Him first. Because when you worship God and focus on Him alone, everything else falls into insignificance. When I was in second year of school, my dad sadly passed away, which was one of the hardest times in my life. And I remember going through a similar process with God as Habakkuk did. I went through times of asking honest questions to God because of how hurt and angry I was. I was waiting on His response to the questions I asked Him. And instead of giving me the answer I wanted. He just kept telling me to trust him, which was one of the last things that I wanted to hear at that time. I remember it being at church one Sunday and singing the song Blessed Be Your Name by Matt Redman, and I couldn't sing it because there is a line in it that says, you give and take away, you give and take away, my heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. And I thought in my heart, you've taken away from me, God, but you have not given me anything. And I couldn't sing it, along with many other songs too. I couldn't sing them. My situation had blinded my perception of God and who he is. But to cut a long story short, I continued to wait, sometimes patiently, sometimes not so patiently, on God. And in that waiting and constantly being honest with him, God healed my heart. And he revealed to me how good he is all the time, in every situation, even the ones that don't feel good. He cannot be anything but good, because he is God. In the wondering and in the waiting, God pulled me closer to him and changed my perspective of my situation. And now when troubles come, worshipping God is one of the key things that helps me refocus on him despite what I am facing. Habakkuk's story is a tough one to read and fully understand. It's a story of the real importance of trusting God even when times are hard, and it is an example of what true faith looks like. Even when the world tells us that we could do better on our own, or our minds tell us that we could make an instant difference if we acted now and took matters into our own hands, we can have faith to know that our God is in control. My hope is that through Habakkuk's wondering, waiting and worshipping of God, we can take courage to know that we are not facing life on our own, because our God is for us in every situation that we face, and we too can stand in the midst of tragedy, turmoil and despair and proclaim how great is our God. Amen.
The splendor of a king, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God, sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great is our God. Age to age he stands, and time is in his hands, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God, sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great is our God. Is our God. You're the name above all names. You are worthy of our praise. is our God. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee. The stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee. How great thou art. Scarce can take it in that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen.